This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, I'm Gary Holt. And joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. We've got beautiful weather out here in Tennessee and a lot of exciting things that are going on. We're getting close to a big event that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, but let's get started right into our show because we've got some great guests, and let's tell our audience who we have joining us today.
Yes, we do. As always, today we have Susanna Gitson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Pedro, Ohio, and talk with my friend, Jill Bomanello, owner of Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Shop.
All right, so we've got a great show, some really great guests, and some exciting information that we're going to be sharing. And so we're looking forward to talking with them. But we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And, of course, by our great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance guarding you down life's trail. And you can learn more today about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Susanna Gibson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Way out yonder where the prairie winds blow, from the Rio Grande up to old Idaho, there's a sound comes winging from over the plain. It's the cowboys a-singing the songs of the range. I want to be there when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west. Come along with me to the cowboy jubilee. Let the fiddle play your bow a sweet melody.
Hear the cowboys answer with their ho-il-o-dee.
That bunkhouse bass never loses the beat.
The cowboys start to clapping and they kick up their feet. I pick a prairie flower and I ask her to dance. Once around the floor and it must be romance. The prairie moon is shining for her and for me at the cowboy jubilee. I want to be there when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west. I'm sure you'll agree at the cowboy jubilee. At the cowboy jubilee.
Riders in the Sky and the Cowboy Jubilee, and we're going to welcome to the show right now one of my favorite people. She is a horsewoman. She is a writer. She is a publisher. She is a skydiver. She is a daredevil. We're going to welcome to the show now Susanna Gibson.
Wow, this is terrible. That is
terrible.
Well, I was doing the jig. I was doing the jig while that music was on. I mean, I'm all pumped up now.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a great song to start the show with, and of course a great guest. And by the way, I'll mention that Ranger Doug is going to be on the Campfire Cafe this Thursday, so we're going to be talking about the Riders in the Sky new Salute to Roy Rogers CD. But anyway, that's going to be a fun show, so Thursday at noon. But anyway, one of my favorite folks to talk with, and you and I are children of the 60s. And,
Yeah,
and of course we have our grandchild with us today on the show with Tina Mae. but maybe not a grandchild. Maybe not a grandchild. Could be a child.
Learn wisdom from us old folks.
That's right. That's right. But you know, we were talking about, there's so many things to talk with you about, and there are so many things that happen and go on with Trailblazer. But we were going to talk a little bit about the changes in philosophy of horse training since you started Trailblazer magazine, and that was what, 37 years ago?
37 years ago.
Wow, where does time go?
Boy, I don't know, because it's all been, every day I get up, I still have a great passion for the magazine. My whole staff has a passion for the magazine, and we're all really close friends, and we just have a ball. I mean, it's coming up with new ideas and not the same old stuff that a lot of people print. So we're always looking for those really unique perspectives that can educate people and make them laugh and just show them gorgeous pictures of places they can ride. So we have 37 years, you know, the old on the kitchen table, didn't have two dimes to rub together, and it started out as newsprint, and now, of course, it's beautiful color. A couple of years ago, we won actually Best in Show at American Horse Publications, the first time we ever entered. We won the top magazine over wonderful magazines like Equus Magazine, Western Horseman, all of them. And it's just our little mighty group of people here putting it together. But passion is what gets you there, you know?
That's true.
Really, really love what you're doing.
And opposed to what Tina May thinks, because I'm so old, when I started out, it was a quill pen and parchment paper. So you're not quite that old.
Well, you're that sophisticated, because we started out with the linotype machines, where you had to put all the little squares in, you know, for the type.
Right.
I think that was after quill and pen.
Oh, my.
Right. But
well, it is fun, because when I started, it was the beginning of where they had typesetting machines that you could actually put in your office, and it ran, you would type the type in, and it ran type out on, like 8-inch long galleys of, on like a photographic paper.
Right.
And, a hundred feet of galleys. And then you had to go into the dark room, and you had to make half tones, because we weren't into color then. And you had to do all your pictures in your half tones. And if you realized that the design was a little bit off and you had to move a line, you had to cut that one tiny line out, put it at the top of the next column, move everything else down. It was hard work. It was really hard work. So I think because starting that way, nowadays with the computers and the programs and Photoshop and all of that, it's just such a breeze. I mean, you want to change a color, just change it. You know, if you can go into Photoshop and look at a tree and put a little marker on the tree and see what color that tree is, and you can say, okay, now make this type that same color, you know, and you get...
Wow.
And it's so much fun. I mean, it makes it so easy. But the beginning days were pretty hard to do in any kind of publishing.
Yeah, well, it has changed a lot. I can remember my dad. My dad had the old 5- and 10-cent stores. And if you wanted to do posters, you had to set the type, and there was a roller that you inked up, and then you rolled over that stuff, and then you ran your paper across that, and it was, you know, to print any kind of little flyer or something up. So,
yeah,
we have come a long way, baby, as they say in those old cigarette commercials. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the changes in philosophy of training, because there have been a lot of changes that in my 60 years of, that's right, Tina May, 60 years of horses, the philosophy, we have all of these clinicians that they just didn't used to be. and we have a new older generation of people that have gotten involved with horses over the last decade or so. But what have been the primary changes, Susanna, that you've seen in the philosophy and the thinking of the relationship between man and horse?
Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. Well, I want to qualify. I want to qualify by saying one of the biggest blessings and gifts that I had was that back in the 1970s, when I started my magazine, I mean, literally, I think it's the second year I was into my magazine, Linda Tellington Jones had been in Europe for many years, kind of rethinking what she was going to do with horses and with the teamwork and T-touch practitioner. And she came back to the United States and happened to have a clinic in my hometown of Paso Robles. And I joined the class. It was a six-week class, 24/7. And I think there were 10 people there and only two Americans and the rest were Europeans. And you lived on campus and changed my life because it taught me, you know, the importance of, I mean, nowadays they call it the horse whisperer and all these things, but it was basically learning to communicate with your horse to get a result that you wanted. And I can remember one time in particular, she's on the horse, she gets on this new little 3-year-old Arab colt, and he was the sweetest thing, and she gets on him, and so she says, okay, move forward, and the horse just stands there, and she says, well, come on, move forward. And the horse starts to get kind of jumpy, and then she takes her legs and starts to kind of kick him and flail at him. And, come on now, move forward. You're just being stubborn. And finally, he bolted forward out of fear. And she says, oh, now I'll do what all the other trainers do. I'll pat him and tell him good boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, that's not how you do it. You don't teach a horse to lead. Well, then she went back to that other horse. She says, what you do is you get off and you teach him the language. You teach him that when you touch his side, it means move forward. Teach him the words first before you ask him to do the action. And then she had another, I'm trying to think of what the other horse was, but it was, well, it was about leading. And she says, who in their right mind would believe that the way you learn to lead a horse that's had a halter on for the first time is to put the halter on and pull him forward. She says, you're asking the horse to pull into pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That's diabolically different than what any animal or person would do. I mean, you back up with someone put a noose around your neck. You back up, you try to get away. And
right.
that was the common thing, is that you you did it, and there was always the big fights and the cowboys in the arena thing and pulling on the horse and he's bucking. And she says, what if we put a little rope around the horse's butt through the halter, and then when we ask him to go forward, what he actually feels is the pressure from behind and getting to move that way. And then instead of pulling on his head. And it was just that beginning of learning to there was a bridge, I remember, and the horse wouldn't go over this little bridge. And she says, okay, well, let's chunk it up. Let's take him over it sideways. And so she walked him up, put his feet on it, take him down, put his feet on it, take it down, go to the other side, put his feet on it, take it down, and then ask him to step over the bridge, the short way over. And then, you know, so it took her maybe 30 minutes. But what she got was a horse that wasn't afraid of a bridge. Just a horse that wasn't forced to do something that he was more than willing to do. But the minute you pull on a horse, it changes the behavior in their mind. And, I mean, I cringe when I see people doing the thing where the horse, you know, pulls back against the trailer and he's flipping around. I mean, talk about throwing a horse's neck out,
mm-hmm.
which can affect his or her behavior for the rest of their life is nothing more than, you've seen maybe 1,000-pound horse you know, freak out and pull back against a rope and fall down.
Right.
And that affects his brain, that affects his body, it affects his neck. And so she taught me, don't be lazy. teach the horse how to do it in a way that he understands and that he wants to do. And that was such a gift for me. And that's what Trailblazer started 37 years ago against all the other magazines that were not teaching that at all. Trailblazer was the first one. And we have followed through with that philosophy no matter who we have riding for us. Eversole, Dutch Henry, Sue DeLaurentis, Sean Patrick, everybody we pick, we really vet them to make sure that they are teaching the horses and not just forcing them to do. I mean, like I said, the horse bolts forward and you say, good boy, good boy. Well, he bolted forward out of fear, not because he did things. So that's one of the ways that changed in my life. I remember the only letter to the editor I ever wrote was back in those days. And I was reading, well, I won't say the magazine, but I was reading one of the Western magazines. I don't think they're in business anymore. And they had an article, and people still do this. They have an article about how to teach your horse to flex his neck and be loosey-goosey with his neck. And the way they did it was that you tied his head to the stirrup and left him in there for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you tied my head to my elbow or my knee, I guarantee you the last thing I would have when I came out of that would be a flexible neck. you know? that's not the way you get, you know, to tie them down. And that's what they would do. They would tie them to their tail. They would tie them to their stirrups. And those horses were so stiff. And so then they'd get on them, and then they didn't, you know, yield to the left or yield to the right. Couldn't figure out why. Well, because you just tied him to the left, and his neck's so stiff, he can't even move. So then he gets beaten up for that because he's, you know, he's not doing the right thing. So that's a lot of what has changed, and we went through the transition, beautiful transition, of trainers. Linda was the first. Tom Dorns was also very good in the beginning. Not a lot of people read his stuff, but he's really, really good.
Right.
But then you got into the rest of the trainers that started to learn to teach people how to communicate and to go slow and quit being so, you know, to be respectful and don't be lazy. Take that time.
I think it taught them to listen to the horse. Instead of breaking the horse, I think people are more apt to train a horse and listen to the horse more these days.
Yeah.
Well, we've got...
How do I teach my horse? You know, that's the thing. How can I teach my horse to cross the river? Not how can I make him do it?
Right. Well, there are some things that there's some changes in society and just in time that brought about some of these different changes in philosophies. And we want to talk about those when we come back, but it is that time to recognize one of our sponsors, and let's do that. We're going to come back and talk more about the changes and the improvements and the differences in training philosophy with Susanna Gibson. And we're talking with Tina Mae Weber, our co-host up in Missouri as well. But right now we want to recognize Trailhead Supply, one of our great show sponsors for Saddle Up America. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store with their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana. Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Susanna Gibson and Tina Mae Weber. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. He saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay, faces gaunt, their eyes a blur, their shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch the herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. They've got to ride forever on the range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire, forever hear their cry. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo. Riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. Trying to catch the devil's herd out across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo.
This is Eddie Floyd of the International News Show, AM News. I want to tell you about the Wainema Ranch. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to visit Wainema Ranch for one reason. You can visit them online right now and help out where you can with our American heritage, the wild horses and burros at the Wainema Ranch. It is right here north of Reno, Nevada. That's WainemaRanch.com, W-Y-N-E-M-A Ranch.com. Get involved. Visit us today and see why I say my wife runs the ranch and I run my mouth.
Well, that is my good friend out in Reno, Eddie Floyd, with AM Matters, America Matters, and he and his wife Sherry and Lacey J. Dalton are heavily involved in working with wild horses and saving them, so visit WainemaRanch.com and get involved to help them out there. You know, Susanna, I just played the Ghost Riders in the Sky. I mean, that's a great old Western song, and that's by Don Edwards. That version is by Don Edwards. One of the things that has happened over the last 100 years, which is older than I am, you know, over the last 100 years, horses that were a utility animal have now become a recreational animal for the most part. I mean, there are still parts of the country here that they're used as for utility and other parts of the world. But really, it was that change in the use of the horse that has brought about the training philosophy changes, I think. Because folks that have gotten involved with horses over the last 30 or 40 years. More so are people that have decided to get involved for recreational use. They didn't necessarily grow up with horses. And so all of these trainers, they're not training horses. They're training people.
I mean, horses back in the military days and in, when they were plowing, even Alexander the Great with Bucephalus. Is that him? Bucephalus? And those animals were animals of war. They were animals of work. And they took very good care of them because they were their car. You know,
right.
they were their transportation. They were their what they took into battle. And so it was, I mean, they were very, very close to their animals, and they needed them to behave. And I don't know. It would be interesting to go back and see how they trained their horses. I've read some of the manuals in for the military, for the American military, and how they trained their horses. And but I think you're right. Nowadays, people who may never have grown up with horses at all get a horse. I mean, usually when people say, oh, I really would like to get a horse, I go, please don't.
Yeah.
Because
they're not a puppy.
They're not a puppy. They take, you know, you have to use them. And people that put them in little paddocks and barns and ride them once a month, and I mean, they just break the spirit of the horse of what he likes to do. He likes to be outside, be in a pasture, be in a herd, or some kind of communication, even if it's a goat or a pig. But I think you're right. I think that changes everything. And you've got to be able to understand. I think if you can just get through in your head as you're working with a trainer and using a trainer, that you can, you know, how you communicate with that animal is night and day of what you're gonna get out of the animal, and to get that really calm, easygoing horse that'll just do anything for you, that you can really trust, and not one who's just on the edge all the time. That's so jittery and nervous that he's gonna bolt at, you know, a deer jumps out of the woods and he's gone. And those horses are not fun to ride.
There's a balance. And it's funny because you got two extremes. You got people that try to break a horse instead of train it. And then you have those that try to love it to death and spoil a horse and ruin it as well. And there's this balance. There's a balance. The horse will, you know, you listen to the horse, but you don't necessarily have to spoil the horse.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a balance there. You got to gain their trust. You got to not only do you gain their trust, but you've also got to gain the horse's respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those two things are very important and vital in training.
Mm-hmm. They are, and you have to build a dialogue with the horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what Linda said, she's on this horse, and he doesn't know what she wants to do, and she starts flailing his legs, and he's going, oh my gosh. You know, when if you just took 10 minutes and taught him what you want him to do in a kind and respectful way, he's going to look and he's going to go, okay, I can do that. And then it doesn't have to be a battle. I don't know if the cowboys, the old cowboys, or even some of the new cowboys, I think they got a kick out of having the bucking broncos and having the horses go crazy because maybe it looked them look better and
I think one of the differences at a certain period of time was that a lot of these horses were brought in off of the range. I mean, these were wild horses that they brought in. They were already 1,000-pound, 1,100-pound animals, and these cowboys, for example, had to put them to work. I mean, they did not have the luxury of time to go through a process, and these were utility animals, and they had to do some things maybe to get that horse ready to ride so they could go to work. Today, that's not the case, and so the horse has changed, and we have and I forgot the term because I'm getting old. I'm having some sometimers. Isn't that what you told me the other day, Tina? I'm having sometimers.
Yeah,
you know, now we start working with these colds when they're a day or two old.
Mm-hmm.
And so
big difference.
And so we're working with these colds, and we teach colds to lead before it becomes a battle. We teach colts to load into trailers and to stand to have their feet lifted and cleaned, and you know, all of the different things that we do now early on with these colts and babies, so that they become great, what I call now companion animals. Because that's really what they are. So the techniques have changed, and so I think the training philosophy has changed, because now you're training people more so than horses.
Yeah, and the person, and that's what's so cool, is that people, that most of the trainers nowadays, I mean, some of them do train horses, but most of them train people to teach them. I mean, there's just, you just have to have a mindset to realize the philosophy and the approach that you should make to the horse. From that point on, it can be intuitive to know what. I have a dear friend, Helena Bresk, who's a team practitioner and degrees up her name like crazy, working with horses. And she works for this lady that has these gorgeous Hanoverian horses out at this gorgeous ranch. And she brings Helena out to do her T-touch work and to relax the horse and to teach the horse to bend in both ways and be really flexible and, you know, like a noodle and behave and not be afraid. And then she hires young high school girls to come out there and ride them, and they put them in draw reins and drive them from behind, and they ruin everything that Helena did. And and I hope that the owner of that barn is not listening to this program, but she sent me a note last night. She says, "I am so excited. So-and-so has agreed that she and I will be the only ones that will train the horse." And they're going to do it right. Because, again, you can do, you know, you don't take a young three-year-old horse and ride him that way with such pressure for 5 days a week. You know, it just... And I did that. Oh, my gosh. The first horse I ever bought was this old, I didn't realize how old, quarter horse. He was out of the Clabber line way back when. And she had done a lot of Gymkhana. So my sister, old baby sister, and I, we'd go out and we wanted to do barrels 100 times in a row. I mean, it was fun, and the keyhole and pole bending and all that. And finally one day the old mare just plopped her feet in the ground and wouldn't move. And she says, "I am not going to do this over and over again. I know how to do it. You guys may be having fun, but I'm not having fun anymore." And it was very funny. In fact, when we'd get to the Gymkhana, we found out later on she was about 28 years old. We did not know.
Wow.
Didn't know she didn't have any teeth. I mean, that's how naive we were. And you couldn't get her to go up to the gate to go into the arena to do the whatever test it was. So one of us had to lead her up to the gate, and then as soon as you opened the gate, she'd be on her hind legs, and you had to make sure that everybody in the ring was ready, and she'd be on her hind legs, and if she didn't get to go do it, she'd give you about 5 seconds, and then she'd back up to the gate, and she'd say, "I'm done." But if you let her go, we won blue ribbons every single time. She was amazing. So she was...
I think one of the biggest... mistakes that people make is you take a person that doesn't know anything about horses, but they have a huge heart, and so they're going to rescue this horse, and they'll take this horse in, and they don't know what they need to be doing, and so you end up either getting a person hurt or continuing to ruin a horse, and if people would buy horses that were already developed to where they need to be.
Amen.
So that you know, I all I need to learn now is to ride properly and teach me how to take care of my horse. But I'm not the one that has to go through and teach them all of these things, because I don't know what I'm doing anyway. And mm-hmm. and I've had people contact me about horses and is this horse beginner safe? And I say, well, if you know how to ride, this horse is fine. Now tell me about your beginner. Do they know anything about horses? And if they don't, I'm sorry, but this I wouldn't do that to my horse. You know?
Exactly. Oh, the ones that terrify me, that absolutely terrify me, are these people that have never really had a horse before, and they go out and buy a 4-year-old stallion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
mm-hmm.
gosh. And green yeah. was green, yeah. was black and blue for both. And, you know, and I think, Gary, you hit that on the nail. And I think that's why all these, you know, the clinicians have gotten so popular. And I'm not a particular clinician follower. Some things I learn on what to do, and some things I learn what not to do watching people. But you're exactly right. I think a lot of people, they want to save the horse or they just want a horse. They've always wanted a horse, and they've seen all the horse pictures and all the horse movies and think that the horse is, just comes out like that, and don't realize that there is a process in training a horse, and it can result in people getting hurt and ruining a good horse, a potentially good horse. So,
yeah.
And I echo Gary's thing. If you're going to buy a horse for the first time, buy a horse that is well trained, which means it might be 12, 13, 14 year old horse.
Yeah,
that's right.
Buying a 2-year-old stallion.
That's right. And look to see if they have teeth. I mean, you don't want to do like you did with that old. You know, make sure they're teeth.
I was very young.
Oh, goodness. Well, our time always goes too quickly when we have you on the show. I mean, you're always so much fun to talk about. This is a topic, Susanna, that I think would be a great one to pick up again next month, because there's more to talk about with this. And mm-hmm. and I do want to take just a minute to thank you and Bobby and Dutch for the mm-hmm. great story that Dutch wrote in Trailblazer about our benefit for the Funerals Murphy Foundation. And just did a great job, and I appreciate so much your help in helping us to promote this benefit to help these kids.
Well, it was my honor to do that. That's what we like to do. And Dutch is just such a beautiful writer, and getting the point across about the emotion and everything. So I'm really glad, and I really hope it's just a huge, huge success for you.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate everything Trailblazer has done to help us with that. And I am still looking for you for a dance. And so, green bananas or not, okay, this is just about 2 weeks away. So,
you still don't get the green banana joke, but that's okay.
I got the green bananas. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I hope that you can make it if possible to join us out there. We're going to have a great time, and it would be such a joy to actually get to meet you in person. And
dance,
and you never know, you could be the queen of the cowboys when we award that thing.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
Ooh.
That
might be very interesting. I'm just kind of under doctor's orders right now, and I just have to be released to be able to leave. I'm not in a prison or anything, but we just have to kind of get down to it and see what my blood work looks like and if I'm able to go out into the public.
Okay.
I have my autoimmune system is low, but my brain never stops working, so.
Well, I know that. Well, listen, we keep you in our thoughts and our prayers all the time, you know, in between all these shows that we do, and we appreciate you and love you for what you've done for the horse world. And look forward to meeting you sometime, whether it's in the next couple of weeks or not. So let's tell people where they can find Trailblazer.
trailblazermagazine.us, like United States, trailblazermagazine.us.
And the most beautiful and informative horse magazine that's out there. So get your
subscription. It is the best.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say what you say every time. The next issue is always the best one.
Yeah, yep, so that's our goal.
You don't want to miss this next one. So anyway, well, Susanna, appreciate so much you being with us and look forward to talking with you very, very soon.
Well, God bless both of you.
All right, thanks so much. All right, we want to remind you that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, your travel roadside travel assistance, 24 hours. You're always under their care, and getting you down life's trails is the goal for Trail Guard, and you can find out more about them at trailguard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online packing supply store. Learn more about them and do some shopping with them at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with a very patient Jill Romanello from Elkins Creek Horse Camp. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Waters of the snake, I am free, Lord, I am free. And I miss my home and family and the woman that I love, but the spirit of the Lapwai runs through the land like blood, and I'm leaving it behind me now, cause that's how it has to be. But I'll return and I'll be free. Blasted timber wolves, they run free, Lord, they run free. Canyon winds and rivers, clear and clean as polished gold, they run free, Lord, they run free. And the world keeps changing, spinning faster all the time. When a tired and troubled nation weighs heavy on my mind, I can leave it all behind me and be just who I want to be. And be free, Lord, to be free. All the time, when a tired and troubled nation weighs heavy on my mind, I can leave it all behind me and be just who I wanna be. And be free, Lord, and be free. From Spotted Bear, Montana, to Nez Perce, Idaho, I am free, Lord. And set me running on Elk City Wagon Road, and I'll be free, Lord, I'll be free. When you see them crystal waters, you will never be the same. You can disappear and wander in land never to be tamed. So leave your troubles far behind you, come and ride along with me,
That is Bryn Hill's Ode to Selway, and Bryn is going to be our special guest next Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe. So be sure and tune in to listen to that interview with Bryn, and we'll introduce his new CD, Spirit Rider. But right now, we're going to visit with one of our great Legacy Club sponsors and a good friend of the show, and that is Miss Jill Romanello with Elkins Creek Horse Camp. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you, Gary. I certainly want to thank you and Tina and Equestrian Legacy Radio. You contacted me, and I appreciated you keeping an eye out for all horsemen across the nation, looking at this issue that we have here, because it does affect so many people across the nation. Anyone that uses our national lands or has an interest in it by any way of butterfly watching to horseback riding to, you know, hunting, it affects us all, our national lands, and how the management handles it. So this Wayne National Forest Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project is definitely going to affect our community, and it could affect yours next. So I hope that the people listening today take heed, and feel free to call and ask me questions later or contact me so that they can put their input as well. So,
all right. Well, now that's what you what you call a hook. Because we're going to talk about that in our second segment. So don't go away. We're going to talk about Elkins Creek. Yeah, yeah. We're going to make her a regular on the radio show. But, yeah, we want to talk about Elkins Creek Horse Camp first and about your facility there. And then we're going to talk about some challenges that are facing all of our trail riders across the country with our national lands. But let's talk a little bit about Elkins Creek. Tell tell us about your facility, and let's tell people, first of all, exactly where you're located.
We are located in Pedro, Ohio. It's the southeast Ohio near Ironton, 13 miles north of the Ohio River, right in the corner near Huntington, West Virginia, Ashland, Kentucky. We're right there in the Appalachia foothills. Wayne National Forest Ironton District here has 104,000 acres. The Wayne as a whole in southeast Ohio has 245,000 acres. It is very beautiful. It has natural rock settings, has the only known balancing rocks in the eastern United States. It has just rolling hills. Our trails have beautiful switchbacks, and they're very well maintained. The Elkins Creek Horse Club nonprofit and the Lawrence County, Ohio Horsemen's Council have been maintaining the trails, I would say 95% of the 50 miles of trails, and the Paddle Creek Primitive Camp on the Wayne. So there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tear equity that goes into these trails, along as a stimulus grant in 2010 of $150,000 went into the 50 miles. And, of course, over the years, Congress allocated monies. So we have a high investment of the trails here in southeast Ohio, which in southeast Ohio, it's the highest impoverishment, highest unemployment rate, and the poorest health in the state. So we have this natural resource, and we are diligently working with the community and asking for partnership with the forest. We've gotten some lead way on some things, but we're still asking for that partnership and that balance. So, you know, that goes a long way when you're trying to help the community. Elkins Creek Horse Camp was founded by Rick McLeese, my fiance, and he started this in 08. He was a mule guide out of the canyon, and his daughter was back here. And he worked as a Chevrolet mechanic for 30 years, has ridden horses since he was a child, as well as I have. So horses are our priority, and, you know, we try to make this place very comfortable and home-welcoming to those who come. We have 60 electric sites and 106 stalls, and we just purchased a new piece of property across the way that will have a dump station and more sites and more stalls. And it's a beautiful area along the creek and the hills around us. A shelter house and cabins and bunk rooms, and, you know, it's just a unique and a full stock tack shop if you need help with anything. So I have a lot of amenities here.
I was really pleased that Tina May pronounced Pedro properly. So she did a good job.
I've been tongue-tied lately.
Pedro Pedro.
Yeah, she did a good job with it. But and I'm still waiting for her to make that trip up there just to get Rick to work on her truck, because that was that was something we talked about once before. But you
now
guys
I've done
faced,
it before.
Yeah, you guys faced a challenge a few years, didn't you, with some severe storms that came through and forced a decision as to whether to close or rebuild. And, yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because you're almost a new facility, aren't you?
Yes, since 2011, a tornado came through, took the roof off the main building and took it through the barn, so everything had to be tore down to the ground and rebuilt. But we stood there the next day, of course, in shock, and it's like, you know, all that work, and then you're standing there looking, well, what's this mean? And we really said, you know, I don't think God brought us here to quit, because we made a decision when this was started to bring about a change in this community, a change of mentality of the people towards the forest, to bring about more recreation and tourism here, because it is so beautiful and it has so many beautiful things to see. And Southern Ohio could benefit it as a whole through recreation and tourism. You know, every $1 to $2 spent in our business and all the other businesses when the people go out generates 5 to 7 in the community. So you're talking about a big impact, an economic impact as well. So I said that to Rick, and he looked at me, and he walked over, and he started pulling the boards off the barn. He said, we'll start right here. You know, so we stuck to our belief to make a change, to leave it better than what we found it. And we're still hanging in there. You know, there's always these issues with the forest that arise, but you just have to have that fortitude, that faith, and that endurance to keep going, keep moving forward, and that's what we have done here. We was rated for 4 years in a row, 2011 to now, top 5% of the equestrian campgrounds across the nation on horsetraildirectory.com, as well as our
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
That is great.
So
that is great.
That's big for a new facility. You know, we're a down-home facility. There's just the two of us and our dog and our pack mule and a couple horses. And we have a vast amount of people of support that volunteer. We had over 5,000 hours last year donated from the people. They've taken pride in this, and they travel from all over, from Kentucky, West Virginia, and Northern Ohio, getting chainsaw certification, spending their Saturdays getting CPR certified. You know, it just is growing. The synergy here is just growing. And it is beyond me why a forest manager would even consider to take the trails directly around this camp and destroy them with logging. So, but we're hanging in.
I can tell that you want to talk about that more than you do Elkins Creek.
I can
hear it in your voice, and
we're going to get
into that in just a minute. Let's acknowledge another one of our sponsors real quickly, and then let's talk about what's going on up there. But we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, offering unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that serves your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and your horses home or to your destination. And that's kind of important, because if you're headed to a show or to an event, you want to get there. 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle, or one that you're driving, or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And right now, I want to mention that Trail Guard has a special running through Memorial Day, and you can receive a 20% discount off the regular price of Trail Guard enrollment. And if you're a Legacy Club member, you can receive an additional 20% off for a great savings through the month or through the week of Memorial Day. And during the month of May, a portion of all the proceeds of the memberships to Trail Guard are going to be used to help with the disaster in Oklahoma and Texas. So it's a great time to get enrolled in Trail Guard, and you can do that today at trailguard.org, and great discounts for folks during the month of May. And if you're a Legacy Club member, an additional 20% off as well. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that are being faced in the Wayne National Forest right now. We'll be talking more with Jill Romanello from Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tina Mae Weber, who is a passionate trail rider, and our lovely co-host from Missouri. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
There's a place I can go where I'm one with the wind blowing down off the snow far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. Under these boundless skies, in the canyons and halls of eternity, where the eagle flies over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. My soul's alone, it can break free of the flesh and the bone. In these boundless skies, in the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the gray. Beyond time and space, beyond thought, beyond limitation, all that I've been, all that I'll be, lives in the light of creation. In these boundless skies, in the canyons and the halls of eternity, where the over fields of stone. When I'm here, I'm home. Deep in my heart, there's a place I can go. I'm one with the wind, blowing down off the snow, far beyond thought, down where the mighty rivers flow, one with the earth, one with the stars. I'm home under these boughs. In the limitless light of the mystery, I am one with all in the great unknown. When I'm here, I'm home. Time.
Well, that is Lacey J. Dalton and her great song, Boundless Skies. And Jill, I just thought that was a perfect song to lead into our discussion. And I love that line that says, when I'm here, I'm home.
Yes. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about exactly what this Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project is, and what it will do, and why it's important to not only the folks that are in the Wayne National Forest area, but to trail riders across the country.
Yes. Hopefully, many of them know that the National Forest lands are owned by we, the American people. So the employees are stewards of the people to help protect the land and serve the people. So therefore, our voice by law is to be heard. And so we have till May 26, 2015 to make a comment about our opinion about this Wayne National Forest Ironton District Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project. The improvement project, as you said, the habitat, it's really, I find it to be shocking to be named that. It's really a timber harvest when you think they're going to try to preserve the oak and hickory by taking down all the other trees and allowing the light in to warm the earth to allow the oak and hickory, as I've been told. This project includes and can start potentially in 2016 and go on for the next 20 years of clear-cutting, timber thinning, prescribed burns, and chemical application. All of those have a detrimental effect on the forest and the communities around it. When you're talking these things, you're talking about soils, the soil compaction with heavy equipment. It can last for decades, restrict the root growth. It can, all the logging roads can separate the natural habitat vastness and sequester all the habitat onto little islands, and therefore they die out. And they can't, you know, they're all fighting for limited resources. You have the...
Well, I find this this title is very misleading.
Yes, it's very misleading.
A lot of people is just going to see the Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project. It's a little trickery.
It's very trickery. And I find this project to be very much against what U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell laid out in February of this year. He had five priorities, and one of them was to restore the health of the forest holistically. Now, I don't know about you, but chemical application and logging is not holistic. It just doesn't fall in that category. He also said that spending by visitors engaging in recreation activities supports more jobs and economic output than any other activity on the national forest system. And as you know, backcountry horsemen are working to get a stewardship program in with the National Forest, so more of us can help them with their, you know, lack of governmental funds, per se, to say that they cannot keep up with the maintenance. So when
right.
you have people willing to work and willing to support that, you think that there would be more supportive of not tearing up the trails when you have a synergy mm-hmm. of people coming. The trails that they're talking about, they're going to do 25,986 acres here of the 104 that's on this district. That's a lot of acreage. And in that, we set in a section that is all around us, I mean heavy around us, making permanent logging roads of the trails in and out, and the most scenic trails and the most highly traveled trails will be closed for weeks or months at a time. They'll make them permanent logging roads so they can come in, shut them down anytime they want after they come in and do stuff, and then they go out and then they come back. You know, so they're basically shutting off the recreation tourism, plus all the businesses and community that generate from that, not just our business, but the boarding stable down the road and all the boarding stables around and the other, we had another person opening up a camp. And, you know, for the first time in the history of the Wayne, this is happening here with horses, and it's always been a silent sleeper. And so
It affects any community that surrounds these course camps and these trails. You know, it's gasoline and diesel that's purchased. It's food that
right.
may be purchased and other things that people are spending dollars on when they come to recreate in an area. And you'd already talked about the fact that for every dollar that was spent, it put so many back into the community. So this is something that has happened across the country with both state as well as some federal lands, and people are going to have to speak up. I mean, it's not that our government has not made mistakes in the past in other areas, and the type of scenario that you've just described, Jill, is something that it could take, you know, a century to recover from.
Yes. The forest said, we will not, it will be ugly, we'll not see it in our lifetime. And I said, well, what are we supposed to see? What are our children when we take them out on hiking or horseback riding or butterfly watching or gathering their sign? What are we supposed to see? This, you know, we're supposed to be able to have a balance here. They have strip mines here. Why don't they invest the monies and go to the vet and refurbish the strip mines and plant their oak and hickory? They have lands north of all the residential areas here that is just national forest. In my opinion, we shouldn't do any of this on national forest, just so you know. I'm not against logging, but I think there's a place for it, and in national forest it is, should not be because of the effects. Mm-hmm. But that north area doesn't have any residential business or trails in it. They said, well, the access. So they want to use our county roads, our township roads, damage our homes with landslide, potential increase of lead slides and flooding. You know, we live in the Appalachian Mountains, so there is flooding here. The Sims River is just 3 miles down the road. It doesn't affect us up here, but down below, those people get cut off and they get water in their yards. And, you know, you take that watershed that's going north of here, and they're going to go north of here as well. We're the southern part. And you take that watershed, when you remove those trees, that rooting system is gone that helps hold that soil. So the soil and soot go to the water system, and the water flows off quicker. So you have more opportunity, you know, for landslides and flooding. Mm-hmm. Then the water municipalities have to increase their filtration, which is another cost to the people. The commissioners and the county and the roads, they have to try to get already, you know, low funds and to try to repair, they're backlogged as it is, to try to repair the roads, the bridges, and fix the landslides, you know. And you put logging trucks, 30, 40 tons on there, and that increases that as well. But
right.
Above all of that, you're taking the scenic view, so you're taking the trail amount of time, you know, whether it be if they take it for a week, at a, you know, Monday through Friday for how many weeks. People are not going to schedule to come in, one, to meet logging trucks and sit in a camp and listen to chainsaws mm-hmm. and skidders and breathe the air and the chemicals in the water. You know, it has so many effects.
And people don't like to ride the horses on freshly dozed trails either, with roots hanging out and trees knocked down. It's just it's a very ugly sight to see.
And the canopy is gone. So then you have the heat element and the weather element more. You know, when people recreate, they come to see the natural beauty, not this tore up land. And we know we're not going to win the big thing on the whole project being, but we do feel that we have a great chance if people will take the time to write their comment to oppose the Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project on the Wayne National. And they have to put their reason why, whether it be, you know, because of the scenic view or the increase of other, you know, landslides, or just want to protect the natural habitat. You know, so we're really reaching out to people across, because this could be them as well. You know, when you look at all the habitat, the Indiana bats that are endangered and all these other federally, like the rattlesnakes and so forth, they're all here. All that stuff is here. So you're going to exchange their safety of their environment to preserve this oak and hickory. Although when they invited me out to the ATV trails, Pine Creek project, which I was unaware of, it's over the way, they suggested we go look at that. Well, then they couldn't go. They were unable to attend that. So I went and with some people, the ATV people, who are furious. And I was astounded, because everything you hear on National Forest is protect our forest, leave no trace, you know, minimal impact. Mm-hmm. 25-foot wide roads that branches off in threes, and then they go down and branch off in threes. Stacks of sticks and stuff taller than me. I don't know how anything's going to grow in that. Oak trees that have been scraped, big oak trees, they will die. Oak root stumps, they've taken some of the oaks. I'm a little bit confused about preserving the oak when we're taking the oak, you know, but, you know, I don't think they expected people to go down off of the trails into the
to take a real look. Yeah, to take a real look at what's going on.
Right.
And the chemicals you said they're using. I mean, how long is that going to be in the ground?
Oh, yes. It's going to have monumental effects. Think about all the wildlife out there that has to drink that water. Plus, it's coming down to our animals and our wells. Our Hecla water is on a well system. It doesn't get it out of the Ohio River. And everything that goes into Semsk River feeds into the Ohio River. So it has a monumental impact. And,
rippling effect. It's a domino effect.
Yes.
I have a question. I'm very curious. So what do they plan to do with the money from selling the timber?
Well, that's a good idea. It's a good question. I don't know. I can request that under Freedom of Information Act, which I'll be requesting a lot of things. And anybody out there can ask an analysis done, a soil analysis, an air analysis. You know, when they do the prescribed burns, there will be the air pollution. And it was very interesting because it's just so funny how people know people and they send out, you know, letters. And I received a letter yesterday that gave me great hope. And he's an environmental paralegal, actually. And he was talking about how this project, how it is overwhelming how this project will affect so many issues. And on the last page, he talks about, he said that such a policy is contrary to 16, and he names the law number. And then he talks about also how if they continue forward with this, that he has concerns that this Buckeye Improvement Project would conflict with the following environmental laws and regulations as it is further developed. And there's like over 30 listed here, and they're even in the Forest Service Handbook. And I don't know how management can allow to put out such a project when this man took a little bit of time and says, you know, this is going to refer, if you go further with this, then you're going to be breaking all these laws. So there's a lot of controversy about it as far as the people wanting questions and answers. We've asked as, you know, professionally and, you know, because we've had a partnership, we've said, you know, why, for one, would you, these highly traveled, most scenic trails, most invested, why would you even consider placing that here when you have 104,000 acres? I have to ask myself that question. Two, why are we going to do all these things just for the oak and the hickory? The oak and hickory grow very prevalient where you are, Tina, in Missouri, because you have the right soil and moisture. They don't grow out west because it's too dry. We have some here, but they're not prevalent because it's too moist. I don't know anybody who can control Mother Nature, and I certainly don't think the forest can.
Right. Well, you have a time limit on this, and that is quickly approaching, and that was one of the reasons, Jill, that we wanted to get you on this show today. The period of time to make a response or to make comments, I think they call it the comment period, is the deadline date is the 26th of this month.
Yes, it is. You can either email, and it's you can contact me at ElkinsCreekHorseCamp.com. It has my phone number and email address. But you can also, you know, if you wish to make a comment, you can email your comment to comments, Ironton, at f as in frank, s as in sam, f as in frank, e as in edward, d as in david, .us. You can also write a letter. I won't go over that address, but if anyone wishes to ask questions or write letters, we really reach out to you to thank you for, one, taking the time to listen. You know, this could be your next door to you at any time with National Forest. And if you plan to ride anywhere across the nation, it could keep you from visiting that area. So it could be your trails and your community. And the national forest land is owned by the American people, and we have a right to say what happens to it. If you're a United States citizen, young or old, you can comment. When you comment, you need to place your name and your address and the Buckeye Project's name, Buckeye Habitat Improvement Project, and then you just need to put on there your opinion, yes or you oppose it or you're for it, and your reason why. It can be one reason. It can be 10 pages why. So I
and the people need to join together. They need to join together. Yes. If you never even plan to visit Ohio or go to Ohio, this may be in your backyard next. And people need to join together, make one voice, tell them what we want, that we want our horse trails open, our hunting trails, and anything else that people want to hike on them or whatever they want to do with them. We need to join forces. We need to stand together. Even if you never plan on going to that place, you still have to say so.
Yes. If you're not even a recreational user, this is still your land across the U.S., and we have a right to say what happens to it. You know, my opinion is don't do any of the project, but especially on the trails, and don't do it on the trails, because those are highly used for purposes for so many people, and we need to be respectful of that. And that's what I have asked from our congressman, Bill Johnson has been very supportive. Our commissioners, Les Boggs and Bill Pratt and Hayes, they have been very supportive. Our Chamber of Commerce, the people, everyone has been very supportive to this as far as knowing the impact to our community, because we live here. Unless, you know, you live here, you don't really know the vast impact, you know, but it does affect us as a whole, as an American citizen, because it can affect your community next. And so it's
and it is happening all over.
It is. They're timbering. They've timbered all the state trails. And the bottom line to me is not about a habitat improvement. It's about logging money. And when the forest gets their money and the loggers gets their money, they don't have to pay taxes to this community. They don't. The logging doesn't have to pay taxes to this community, because typically it's not loggers from this community. So they go back to their communities and pay taxes on the money they earn. So then we're left holding the pickup of, you know, the residential losing their value of their properties, businesses closed and gone, the landslides, the health impact. You talk about taking trees away, you're taking the carbon sequestering away as well. So you're endangering all the wildlife, the fish, and the plants, and the whole ecology of the nature of the forest. Its health and welfare is at stake, as well as the people. So I
went riding down in Alabama just last weekend, and it was a gorgeous, gorgeous ride. But half the ride, I didn't hardly take any pictures because they were logging there, and it was just awful.
Yes, that's not what
it was awful.
Take time out of our busy life to relieve the stresses and go to the beauty, to renew ourselves and to heal and to become at peace with everything in nature, and we can come back and be a better person when we come back into the community. And when we go out there and see that destruction, we just feel like destruction's all around us, you know, because we have to deal with so many things in the environment and the communities today that are facing with drugs and, you know, unemployment and so forth. So the forest is our refuge. And I want to say this. Gifford Pashaw of the Forest Service, who founded the forest with Teddy Roosevelt, and this makes monumental impact to me when I read it, where conflicting interest must be reconciled. The question will always be decided from the standpoint of the greatest good for the greatest number in the long run. Now, that says a lot. I think the National Forest needs to go back to that.
It really does. It really does. Jill, thanks for coming on to share this information, to make people aware of it. And again, you have a comment period that closes the 26th. That is the day after Memorial Day, so don't wait. You've got just a very few days left to make your comments. You had
today
posted some great information on Elkins Creek's Facebook page. We've also posted that on Equestrian Legacy Radio's page, and I believe there's information there to instruct people on how to make their comments and where it needs to go. So, not a lot of time, and let's encourage folks to do that through social media and phone calls. And again, regardless of where you are listening today in the country, you can make your comments and your feelings known as well. And so we want you to do that. And again, it could be happening in your part of the country next. So Let's get involved.
We can stop it.
We can stop it. So tell us where we can find your website.
Elkins, E-L-K-I-N-S, Creek, C-R-E-E-K, Horse, H-O-R-S-E, Camp, C-A-M-P, .com. And it will have my phone number, 740-643-2416, and our Elkins Creek Horse Camp at live.com email address.
All right, and also can find you on Facebook at Elkins Creek Horse Camp as
yes,
well.
It says Elkins Creek, you know, two words, and it says Horse Camp, one word.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So do that, and thank you for sharing this information and sounding the alarm. You're kind of like Paul Revere today.
Thank you. I hope this sets a precedent across the nation. I want to reach out to any persons living around or dealing with national forest. I have done research for quite a bit of years. I'm not a professional, but I do take passion in it, standing for the people and protecting the forest, which is what the forest is supposed to be doing. And I do have a knowledge of some of the laws and some of the ways to work with them. I want to work peacefully. I'm not against logging, but we need to do it in the right places. We need to have a stewardship where the people help with the forest, and we all need to have a balance and get along. And that's just how I feel as a whole, as a person. And so anybody needing me, please feel free to call me. I'm happy to help you in any way I can.
All right. Jill, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You all
so
have
much.
A blessed day. And all of you all out there, have a blessed day. We'll talk to you later.
You too, Jill. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Gary.
Bye-bye, Jill. Thank you. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking more with the passionate Tina Mae Weber. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I was a cowboy out on the stormy plain. When I was a cowboy out on the stormy plain. The only hell that I ever raised, he's a pulling on my bridle rein. Comatia, yippee, comatia, yippee. Out on the cow trail, the dusty billows rise. Out on the cow trail, the dusty billows rise. We're 50 miles from water. The grass is scorched and dry. Comatia, yippee, comatia, yippee. Well, I've been where the lightning tangled in my eyes. I've been where the lightning tangled in my eyes. I heard the trail boss holler, hope you ain't afraid to die. Comatia, yippee, comatia, yippee. Falling, chilled down to the bone. There's a cold rain a-falling, chilled down to the bone. The devil rode the nightmare, you ought to hear him moan. Comatia, yippee, comatia, yippee. It's well I work for wages, boys, I get my pay in gold. It's well I work for wages, boys, I get my pay in gold. I'm bound to follow the longhorn cows until I am too old. Comatia, yippee, comatia, yippee. So come all you cowboys, don't you wanna go? Come all you cowboys and don't you wanna go? Just whooping up the cattle out in the heat and cold. Yippee-ki-yay-ko-ma-tie-ya, yippee-ko-ma-tie-ya, yippee-ki-yay.
Don Edwards, When I Was a Cowboy, and from his CD, Just Me and My Guitar. Tina, this has been a good show. It's been informative. And you know what we like to do with Equestrian Legacy Radio, whether it's for Saddle Up America or the Campfire Cafe or Blessed Trails, is we want to be able to entertain and inform people and encourage people. And so I think this is a show that's certainly done that, and particularly as far as information. So if you're a trail rider or if you're someone that appreciates the beauty of nature and you really need to get involved with this, and let's help these folks out in the Wayne National Forest, you can make your comments. And again, you can find information on our Facebook page at Equestrian Legacy Radio, and as well as Elkins Creek Horse Camp on Facebook, or get in touch with Jill through her website. There's information there as well. Speaking of Jill and Elkins Creek.
Yes.
They are a Legacy Club sponsor. Let's talk a little bit about the Legacy Club.
Yes, they are. Our Legacy Club is free to all our members. The benefits are great, like our discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize drawing, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Store. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, so be sure and do that. And I guess next week we'll announce the Legacy Club winner for the month. And
yes.
Yeah, the last time that we gave away something from Elkins Creek for the month.
Oh, my goodness, you loved it.
Yeah, they shared the photographs of the tack they got and said it was absolutely the best tack that they'd owned. So jump in and be part of the Legacy Club. It's free. Just enroll at equestrianlegacy.net. And anyway, let's talk about
the Fiona Rolls ride.
Yeah, we've got a little trail ride coming up. And that is the first week of June 4th through the 7th, and it is more than a trail ride. In addition to 120 miles of beautiful trails at the Circle E Guest Ranch in Belvedere, which is just outside of Winchester, Tennessee, we're going to have Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship that has joined us this year for part of our event. And the very best of the best will be competing for national trophies and prize money. And, Tina May, I got an email the other day. They have over 120 entries. They'd already set a record with 100. And so right now they have over 120 entries. They will be competing for 2 days in some really action-packed riding and obstacles. And they've really gone all out in designing the course for this event. I think they're going to try to just really outdo themselves this time. So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch. That's neat.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then we've got some great vendors that are going to be on site, so you can come and do your shopping. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention, if you are not coming to ride and camp with us, the Extreme Cowboy Competition and the shopping is open for the public. So if you're anywhere in the area and you want to come and watch the Extreme Cowboy National Championship and do some shopping, there is no admission. So just come on out and enjoy that. And
there's food available.
And there's going to be food. Wind River Outfitters is going to be there with a chuck wagon for chuck wagon lunches. And then Circle E has a beautiful 6,500 square foot restaurant and lodge there. There'll be buffet meals 3 times a day. Thursday night for our camping people and our competitors with the Extreme Cowboy Association, we've got the Cowboy Up Ball. It is the first annual Cowboy Up Ball as part of Equestrian Legacy Radio's trail riding benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. The Kenny Berry Band will be playing, and we will have a celebrity panel that will be selecting the king and queen of the cowboys. And so there's great recognition to go along with that for the first annual event. And Espana Silk, who is a good friend of ours, is going to be providing a great gift set for both the king and the queen of the cowboys. So there'll be some prizes as well as recognition. And then on Friday night, we have a concert that begins at 8 o'clock with Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers. And as Michael Martin Murphy said the other day, any one of those talented artists would be a great show and concert. We've got all three together for Friday night. And then the legendary Michael Martin Murphy and the Rio Grande Band will be performing on Saturday night. And both of those concerts begin at 8 o'clock. They're open to the public. So for our campers, that's included in your donation of just $50 to be part of all of this. But the general public can go online at equestrianlegacy.net and order tickets in advance if you want to come for those concerts. And then we'll wrap things up on Sunday morning with Cowboy Church at 9 o'clock, and Wayne Holt will be speaking, and we have the very talented Mike and Doris Merritt who are coming in to provide the music for that. And so it's just action-packed. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's all for $50. And not only that, those bring in their horses. There's discounted rates there for everybody to stay. So not only do you have this great weekend, you've got discounted rates, so you actually save money, and it's a place, you know, I'd go anyway, you know, and here you get a discounted rate to be there, and all for such a wonderful cause.
It really is. All the money that's raised from this goes to the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation to help kids with brittle bone disease, and so it's a great cause. We're gonna be playing cowboy poker. We're gonna have a what do you call that? A poker run?
Poker ride.
Poker ride on Friday. So. All those different activities, and still plenty of time to get out. There'll be organized rides that start at 9 and 2 each day, and then plenty of time to get out and ride 120 miles of those well-marked trails. So find out more about all of the activities and how to make reservations for that at equestrianlegacy.net. And how much is it for somebody to come for all of that?
$50 donation.
Just $50 donation, and they get to enjoy all of those things. And kids 12 and under are free. So check out the website and be part of that as well. So what am I forgetting?
Our shows next week. We haven't talked about our shows.
We are having a show next week. Who's going to be with us next week?
Well, next week we have Bob Bishop. He is an 82-year-old trail rider. And he's got some stories to tell. Then we travel to Whitefish, Montana, and talk with Dave Scatine, owner of Bar W Guest Ranch.
All right. So that sounds like a great show. And it's encouraging to see these young fellas at 82 still out on the trails riding. So.
Yes, it is. I took Eric out at 88.
That's pretty cool. Exciting. This Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we have Ranger Doug with the Riders in the Sky. That's going to be our special guest. We'll be talking about and playing music from their new album, A Salute to Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys. And we also will be joined by Diana Hoppe, who is a horsewoman, a photographer, and a model. And so that's going to be a lot of fun talking with her. And then we'll have another great show on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Belinda Gale on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. So a lot of great shows, a lot of great activities. We're really looking forward to the Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Riding Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation that's coming up just in about 2 weeks. And so I would encourage you to go ahead and make your reservations there as well. If you don't have a living quarters trailer, the cabins there that they have were booked up the first day. But there are hotels in the area within 7 miles of the campground, and so you can still make reservations at some of the hotels. A lot of our entertainers are going to be staying at the hotels. So, and you know, I didn't mention this too either. Either two, okay. Which is it? Either? I didn't mention this either. You know, when you go to a concert, you see an artist up on stage. All of these folks are going to be there for the entire time. They'll be in our booth. They'll be talking with you. They'll be selling some of their merchandise, signing autographs, and they will be out riding the trails as well. So you tell me the last time that you got to go out and ride with Michael Martin Murphy.
Never. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be hanging with him.
Yeah, you and a few hundred other people. So, anyway,
right. We'll be mingling.
We look forward to that. Well, listen, we've had a great show, and we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. We'll close out this show today with a great song from Michael Martin Murphy, and that's called The Land of Enchantment. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I met a lady in my drifting day. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, we watched the sunset by the Rio Grande. The mission bell rang farewell, she took my hand. She said, come back, amigo, no matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico. Come back, amigo, no matter.